false teachers, people who are not sincere, they are not genuine. Are you aware that there are those type of people in the church? Just because people go to church, many times some people look at church as a marketing area for marketing. That's why you'll see a lot of the bigger churches, they have a lot of people who rely on marketing. Most of the real estate agents go to big churches. Most of the other organizations that require downline will go to big churches because there's their audience. So not everybody that comes to church is sincere.
Today's Regaining Lost Ground is from a message titled, You've Been Served, Now What? Today, Pastor Shane talks about what it means to be called out by God for service and what to do next. From Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
The message this morning is, you have been served, now what? You have been served, now what? Some of you are laughing, you know what that means. It's not really a good thing sometimes, is it? Law enforcement in here. Served means you've been summoned. You've been called out. You've been given some papers that say something pretty negative. Or in this case, it can be positive. Because here's something interesting about God's judgment. I was listening to Alistair Begg this morning on the Westside Christian Radio Network that is now official. So all those listening live stream, we are going to put a listen live button on. I think we're going to have more people listening outside the area than here. Alistair Begg, Greg Laurie, Tony Evans, David Jeremiah, a lot of heavy hitters on there that have an important ministry are now on the Westside Christian Radio Network. And thank you. If you're listening, Phil, Josh, and Jim, they're in Minnesota. Without them, this would have never happened. So thank you guys for doing that. And you can tune in locally, 91.9 FM. And we've got four different stations up to Tonopah, Nevada. And there's going to be, it takes time to get all the volume levels. I'm learning more than I ever wanted to know about radio. Let me tell you that much right now. But that's out there. Also, I have this reminder. I didn't know if it was going to fit. Well, like, what is that? Well, guess what we need? A new roof for the whole building, leaking in different rooms. And I was clueless on the price of this thing. You don't want to know. I'm not going to tell you right here and now. It's right around $40,000. So, online listeners, many, if you've never been here before, we don't pass an offering plate. We don't ask for an offering. It's a George Mueller approach to church. God's bringing the money in all over. But I also think it's important sometimes to let the congregation know, hey, here's a need, and if we're going to leave something for the next generation, this isn't our building. This isn't Westside Christian Fellowship's building. It wasn't Leona Valley Church before this. It was God allowing people to steward his building. So if we want to leave something for the next generation, our kids or grandchildren, it needs a new roof. And it's a lot of money, a lot of work. So if you want to put something towards that, just put roof on the envelope, let us know. We figured if 200 people give $100, that will get us halfway there. And then we're praying for the Lord to bring the rest in as we seek him. So just want to at least let you know that there is a need out there. You've been served, now what? This is the final message in the series on the book of Jude. And 3 weeks ago we talked about, or 4 weeks ago, contending for the faith. And then we talked about trademarks of a false teacher. And then we talked about false teachers. What do they say? They say what? If it feels good, do it. And you ever see those ads that say, let your imagination run wild? No, don't do that. They're usually ads for Cancun or Mazatlan or Las Vegas. You know, just let your imagination run. No, it's not good to let the flesh run wild. So this one is the last part of the book of Jude. And this is a book of the Bible you will not hear taught from very often because it's quite pointed. It's convicting. It's necessary in the times we live. I talked about false prophets, false teachers weeks ago. So listen to those messages. But we're picking up here at Jude 12. There's no chapters. It's just the book of Jude. Jude 12 would be verse 12. These are spots in your love feasts. So he's talking about false prophets, false teachers, people who are not sincere. They are not genuine. Are you aware that there are those type of people in the church? Just because people go to church, many times some people look at church as a marketing area for marketing. That's why you'll see a lot of the bigger churches, they have a lot of people who rely on marketing. Most of the real estate agents go to big churches. Most of the other organizations that require downline will go to big churches because there's their audience. So not everybody that comes to church is sincere. So he's saying about you false teachers, there are spots in your love feast. Well, I better clarify a love feast because that doesn't sound too good to us 2,000 years later. Love and feast meant they were coming together as a church to eat together, fellowship. They would have food, they would have drink, and they would fellowship to love on each other, like a love feast. However, what was happening? People were coming there, gorging themselves, getting drunk, and taking advantage of what this was. And we call it today the Lord's Supper or communion. And if you want to get technical, really coming up, grabbing a wafer and a little cup of juice is not what it was in the New Testament. It was coming together, believers coming together for a time of fellowship, breaking bread together, remembering what Jesus did. Now, that's still good because it's a point of reflection and we can remember, but there was a lot more to it. Many have said we've dumbed down communion, and I agree to some degree what it used to be, but it's where we're at, and let me just pick up. These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. See, another trait of a false prophet, a false teacher. It's all about themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Jude, could you be a little more clear? He's using very strong language there. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And I like what gotquestions.org said this about communion. 1 Corinthians indicates that some were gorging themselves at the feast while others were left hungry. So see, it was a time for believers to come over without Panda Express and McDonald's and Carl's Jr. You didn't have all that. You had the poor rarely had anything available to them, and you would bring all of this food to this feast, and these people were gorging themselves. What would we call that today? Seconds and thirds when there's not even enough for firsts? So they were gorging themselves. Others were leaving hungry. They were even getting drunk. The people were not waiting for one another. They were not appropriately sharing provisions. They ate food and they just took too much. If someone couldn't bring much, he did without. It separated the rich and the poor, and this was very evident. So these things should not be in the church. So let me just give you a nugget of information here. Humility and genuine concern for others are often a mark of sincere faith. False teachers, false prophets, those who are not Christians have a hard time doing this. They can manufacture it, but I'm pretty sure you're a good discerner of fake humility. Are you not? Oh, not me. Not little old me. Well, thank you. And this is fake humility, and they don't really have a concern for others. It's all on themselves. And ironically, a characteristic of genuine faith, when a person has genuinely been saved by the Spirit of God, they love His truth, there's sincere repentance, and there's also humility and selflessness and a love for others. Now, as a word of encouragement, if you haven't mastered that, welcome to the club. Because there's something inside of us that doesn't love others. There's something inside of us that says, mine. Watch your two-year-old. Mine, mine, mine. So with a Christian, though, at least they understand this battle. And they say, Lord, sometimes I'm up here, Lord, help me with my selfishness. God, help me in this area. I want to love others. Give me a heart to love others. Please, God, I want that. See, that's a desire. But somebody not converted could care less. It's not about others. And that's why you're seeing this big movement now, especially now, it's a screaming voice to be able to terminate children even at 9 months or right when they're born. Where's that love? People are like, well, where's that love and compassion? Their consciences have been seared. Let's be honest. Behind this movement, what's pushing this movement? Selfishness. Selfishness. I want to do what I want, when I want, to who I want. It's my body, my choice. Selfishness is pushing this. So you've been served in this area. Now what? With selfishness and a love for others. Do you have that? And then verse 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way and have harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against. And I forgot to tell you what Alistair Begg said. I just remembered that God's judgment is inevitable, but it's not inescapable. It's inevitable. It's coming. God's judgment is coming. I'm banking on that more than the sun coming up tomorrow, but it's not inescapable. Peter gives us a way to escape. Jude gives us all the writers of the Bible. Jesus gave us a way to escape. Repentance and belief in Christ is the escape route. So yes, judgment is coming, but it can be escaped. You don't have to stand before God condemned for your sin. The word will come to pass. God's word will come to pass. God's judgment is sure to come. And it said, all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him will come to light. Can you imagine all these ungodly things that they're saying at God? They're blaspheming God. They're rejecting God. All that's going to come to light. And every single person will fall on their face before God and acknowledge Christ. The ones who used to mock him will acknowledge him. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. That is as sure as the sun coming up. And then verse 16, he predicts the apostates. Apostates just means they have rejected the truth. They are grumblers. They are complainers. They walk according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people. Now, I'm not going to talk about this because what did I talk about last week? That exact point. But this is why they're so appealing. They are grumblers and complainers. And the world says, like me. If an unbeliever loves grumbling and complaining, don't they? That's their fuel. Let's just grumble and complain and gossip. And see, I love these false teachers because they're grumblers and complainers too. They're telling me what I want to hear. Let's have a church service that doesn't have anything of God in it, and we can all grumble and complain together. They'll draw people to themselves. And then walking according to their own lust, like me. I like this guy. He hates this political party. He hates this. He grumbles and complains. And he lets me just indulge in my lust. I like this guy, false teacher. They relate to that person. They flatter people to gain advantage. But you, verse 17, you're about ready to be served, so get ready. But you, see, there's always a distinction. The world, but you. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit of God. Are there mockers today? You, if you don't think there are, just get involved in ministry. Just stand up. Just post something biblical on Facebook. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Twitter it. Just say, Jesus is Lord. Watch out. See, mockers come in. Mockers. Mocking parenting, don't they? Christian parenting is now mocked. Little Johnny can have a phone at 10 and play on video games all day and dress however they want and even change to a girl if they want to. They should be whatever they want to be. Christian parenting, that's mocked, that's ridiculed. Mocking purity? Tim Tebow, did he get mocked? You just get this through your mind. Right now, you want to stand up for God, you will be mocked. It comes with the territory. It is part of the calling. It's actually a badge of honor. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Mocking purity. You're going to wait till you're married? You're going to do things the right way? Oh, my Lord, what wrong spirit. Mocking marriage. Man and a woman, traditional values. You're so old-fashioned. Mocking. Mocking God's word so people can walk according to their own desires. Mocking the laws so people can walk according to their own desires. Look at our legal system now. You want to have godly legislation? It's mocked. And this might be a good time to remind you, I've told you before, but when the country was first started, there was something called Blackstone's Commentaries of the Laws of England. They built the whole legal system on God's word. From having a witness present to the death penalty to rape to manslaughter, all of these things, all the legal system was built on the word of God. Now if you bring up, well, the Bible says, you can't be quoting the Bible. Well, what are you quoting? Yourself? The European Union? That's where you're going to get your information from? Quoting themselves, looking at their own laws and their own, what's written on their own evil hearts. See, I believe we need to bring God back. We need to bring God back. Basketball says bring back Jordan. Baseball says bring back Jeter. Football says bring back Favre. Well, I've got a message, America. Bring back God. That's who we need to bring back. That's what's going to get us out of this situation that we're in. Bring back God. Don't reject it. Don't mock it. Don't remove it. Bring it back and fall on your knees before Almighty God, before the judgment hand falls, and there is no hope because they have mocked him. They have ridiculed him. They have mocked the sanctity of marriage. They have mocked the children born in the womb, and there comes a time where you have to say, bring back God. That is our only hope. I'm done. What more, really though, what more needs to be said? That's the hope. You have all these congressmen mocking God. But you've been served. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Some of you need to hear this morning. This is exactly what you need. You need to build yourself up. What do people say? The church isn't feeding me. The church isn't feeding me. I saw something posted this week. I just loved it. Somebody said, I didn't get much out of worship today. And the response was, good, we're not worshiping you. The church didn't feed me. The pastor doesn't say hi. They weren't there for me. At some point, you've got to learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Yes, we need encouragement. We need to encourage each other. Iron sharpens iron. We need to be there. But God forbid if you put your trust in me or other Christians, put your trust in God, because when man fails you, he won't. Build yourself up in the faith. What do you think I have to do on a weekly basis? I love all of you, but I cannot rely on you to build me up and vice versa. Build yourself up, building on holy faith. This is so important. It doesn't just say building up faith, holy faith. Your faith is described as holiness. What is holiness? Come out from among them and be separate, be different. And then that's what your faith is built upon. Building up your faith. Here's what I do. Here's what you need to do as well. How do you build up your faith? You go back to the Bible and you look at those promises. Almost 20 years ago, I started putting down answered prayers, things, and I go back to that. That's right, God, I remember you answered. You answered me. And I love that song we sing, when all hope is gone. When all hope is gone, your word is all I've got. You're still the same God that takes water from the rock. That same God flooded the entire Egyptian army. That same God holds all of our heartbeats in the palm of his hands. We go back and we say, you're on the throne. All these worries, all these fears, all these anxieties should be cast aside. I'm building up my holy faith on the promises of God. See, you build up yourself in the holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, this could get controversial. I will tell you this right now. Charismatic commentaries and conservative commentaries are going to obviously look at this differently. Many, you know, refer to it as praying in tongues and in the New Testament with Paul. And does that still apply today? And I'm actually... To me, I don't read any of that into this. What I do is how I look at it, is praying in the Holy Spirit. Are you praying in the Holy Spirit or are you praying in the flesh? D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, we all know what it is to feel deadness in prayer. Amen? Every head should be shaking on this one. Difficulty in prayer, to be tongue-tied with nothing to say. Having to force ourselves to try. That's praying in the flesh. Praying in the flesh is dry and dead. And here's what happens. Many people increase the length of their prayer and not the depth of their heart. And you know, and I know, that sometimes we think we add on length. I would say edit that prayer time down. Edit it to... Oh God. And sometimes we just go on and on and on. So you long prayer people out there, be careful. Are you really praying in the Spirit? Now sometimes prayer meetings can go on a while, don't get me wrong. But I've seen a lot of people just tack it on. If we get up to 10 minutes, we're really praying. Not really, God's looking at our heart. And we know it's electrified. Praying in the Spirit is living prayer, soul-touching, heart-wrenching, passion-driven prayer. There's boldness, there's assurance versus weakness and doubt. So what he means by praying in this Holy Spirit is spending time with God. You don't just have a hard day at work, drive in traffic, get home and go, okay, let me pray in the Holy Spirit. And then all this powerful prayer life rushes in. I like what Robert Murray McShane said. Sometimes, I think it was him, I spend more time preparing to pray than I do pray. If we have an hour and a half morning worship, sometimes it takes an hour to get the heart right. It's getting that heart right before God. So that's praying in the Holy Spirit. And many people don't know what that means is because they haven't been filled mightily with the Holy Spirit. See, whatever flows out of in your prayer life is what you've been putting in. So if we've been putting in the world and deadness and all this dark, demonic garbage on Netflix and TV and the computers and the people we shouldn't be hanging out with and doing things we shouldn't be doing, and I'm feeding myself, and then, well, Shane said I need to pray this morning, and you're going to get up and try to pray tomorrow? Good luck. Because what's coming out is what you've been putting in. Unless your prayer life says this tomorrow morning, God, I've been so wrong.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground, an encouragement of God's Word from Pastor Shane Eidelman of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, just west of Palmdale in Southern California. Find out more about the ministry and also stream the Sunday services live at westsidechristianfellowship.org. Look for Pastor Shane's messages on YouTube and follow the ministry on Facebook and Twitter. And hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. Thank you for listening to Regaining Lost Ground. And remember, times change. Truth does not. Touch my lips.